part three of the Buzz Bubble interview with Rob Schwartz.
You bring up that you can think about different things. How do you create your client team? Does someone typically stay on a campaign, stick with that for a while, and then move, or do you juggle them around during the process? How do they get constructed, and how often do you shake them up?
You know, teams that work on clients are subject to their own documentary. You need a combination of consistency and freshness. And we like to have consistency in the leadership, and we like to have connection in the leadership. So a creative director, an account person, and a planner, and a media person. Those four people on a brand are the most important. And if we can keep the leadership consistent, then I think you can be very fresh and rotate new brains and new people throughout the process. But you need consistent leadership.
I ask this question everywhere I go, but usually the answer is the same. But I'm going to ask it again. Can you be a great agency without working hard, long hours? And again, back to the kids going, advertising looks like fun.
Can you be a great agency without working long hours? I mean, not to be cagey, but can you be great at anything without working long hours? I forget who said the quote, but I always like this notion that if somebody says, hey, you're lucky. You know, it's this idea that, well, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think you do have to put in the hours, or at least the hours you put in. I think you have to bring the best of yourself to those hours. So I don't know. I don't know how else to do it. I've never seen it done without a lot of passion, care, and I'll tell you something I'm noticing, which is kind of interesting, is in terms of recruiting people, and particularly people, young people to the business. I'm finding them on Twitter. So if I don't sleep much. So if I'm up at 5 a.m. and there's somebody who sends me a tweet, and we start having a conversation. They turn out to be a copywriter, and sometimes they're from other parts of the world. I mean, that's how we're meeting people, and I think that has not happened. I couldn't have told you that a year ago.
Absolutely not. This whole thing for me started on Twitter. I make so many connections. In the true sense of the word, but I mean connections in, I'm connected to these people and you're following these people and then you start to interact. People think of Twitter as this one-way thing, and I actually found Alex on Twitter. He got on Twitter, he got off, and made a connection, like you said. And you're connecting to people that, like you said, there's no other way you probably would have ever run into these people. A little about you, growing up, and influences. How did you get into the business, first of all, and who were your great influences as you were getting into the business and said, I think I want to do that advertising thing?
Well, I grew up in New York, and all my buddies were going to be lawyers and doctors and, finance guys. And, and I was thinking, I guess so. I mean, I wasn't very good in math, so I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. But a couple of key things happened. I was taking my LSATs, the LSAT. I was at the University of Michigan, and in the middle of the LSAT, and I'd studied for it, but in the middle of it, I don't know what question it was. I hate the number 37, so maybe it was that. I just got up and left. I said, I don't want to do this. And that began an odyssey for me. I did this Outward Bound course in Maine for 3 weeks. Woods and sailing, and again, I'm from New York. I wasn't much of a Daniel Boone, but I liked it because I liked to work with teams. And I thought, okay, this is something. And then I took a job in publishing at Simon & Schuster, and again in New York. And I had this, like everybody else who wasn't going to be a doctor or lawyer, I was going to write the great American novel. And I think the two big influences there, I would say, was J.D. Salinger, for Catcher in the Rye, and Jay McInerney, Bright Lights, Big City. And I thought, well, I'll write that third trilogy. Turns out James Fry wrote that, but I never wrote that because as I was going to this job, and it wasn't a great job, it was a dead end job. I remember walking on it must have been on 57th Street, up near Columbus Circle. I saw this billboard, and it was a white billboard, and there was a steer, an actual bull, and it was sleeping upside down. So this went on for 2 weeks, and I have the billboard down there. This went on for 2 weeks, and I became kind of obsessed with it. And I'm like, what the hell is this steer? What the hell is this bull sleeping? I loved it. I loved the thinking of it and the challenge. And sure enough, it reveals itself, and it was for the phone book. It was for the 9X Yellow Pages.
Okay.
And there was a little tag there, and it said bulldozing. And that was the concept. And there was a line that said, if it's out there, it's in here, the 9X Yellow Pages. And it was like, bam, like every synapse in my head fired and just said, that's what I want to do. And there was a woman who I worked with who had a friend who taught advertising classes down at the School of Visual Arts. And she said, why don't you go down there and take a night class? And I started taking these night classes, and I learned that there was this agency in New York called Chiat. And it was, you know, it was everything. And I basically said, it's going to be my mission to work at that company. And I read all about it, and I read all about, as much as I could find. There was no internet then, but I went to the library, and I read about this guy, Jay Chiat. And I thought, well, he was a guy from the East Coast who went to the West Coast, and maybe I can do this. And I read all about Lee. And I knew all, you know, and again, I started seeing all these campaigns that I love, and these were the guys who were doing it. And after, you know, a couple of stops, you know, I was living in New York for a while, I worked at a small agency, I wound up coming out to California, and I was fortunate enough to work at Team One, and I worked on the Lexus business. And after a certain bit of time, I got a call from Chiat, and I remember driving home, it was on a Tuesday night, and the phone rang, and they said, hey, we like your book, can you come in for an interview? And it was one of the best days of my life, and I came in for the interview, and next thing I know, I got the job to work on Nissan, and I've never left since.
Let's jump into the buzz round, and this week we're going to do a little tribute to James Lipton's questions.
Excellent.
All right. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word. Oh, God. You know, it's funny. I just texted somebody this. I like the word evolve. My favorite word is bolígrafo, which is Spanish for pen, I think. But I think evolve is the buzzword of the day.
Least favorite word?
Least favorite word, no. Is that too obvious?
Not at all, until you say it. It's like advertising. Great stuff's obvious after somebody says it. What turns you on?
What turns me on? My wife.
And what turns you off?
The time right after a conference call, when you know that you have to do stuff, but the conference call took so much out of you that you don't want to do stuff.
Somebody took notes, right?
Exactly.
Favorite curse word?
Favorite curse word?
James Lipton.
No, I love it. I love it. Favorite curse word? I mean, you know, fuck, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's the most... fuck is the Swiss Army knife of curse words. You know, noun, verb. Adjective,
right.
Verb.
What sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise do I love? I love the first bird in the morning. I'm a morning person, so I'm up at about, you know, 5:15. So that first bird I love. And I love that that sound between Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, Bill Wyman, Charlie Watts, and Ronnie Wood, and Mick Taylor for that one shining moment. I mean, when anything off Sticky Fingers, I sort of have
That's
to. I just have to go to.
What noise do you hate?
What noise do I hate? You know what noise I hate? I hate the noise of, this is your captain speaking. The good news is we've arrived 20 minutes early. The bad news is there's no gate. Right. I hate that sound.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oh, I would be, I'd like to be a record producer.
Okay.
I'd like to be a guy, you know, I'd like to know what all those switches are.
That's what I did.
Really?
That's where I came from.
I'd like to know all the switches, I'd like to tell Jay-Z, you know what, I think we need some strings there. You know, how cool would that be as a collaboration, you know?
And then they say, no. The least favorite word. What profession would you not like to attend?
I don't think I'd want to do taxes for someone. That seems grim.
Be on board with that. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I think I'd like to hear, good to see you. Here's a jacket because you're going to be here a long time.
I didn't know there was a jacket required. In case they do, they'll have one with a nice crest.
I think I'd like to wear a white blazer in heaven.
That's even a better question. What would you wear when you get there? I like that.
That's it for part three of the Buzz Bubble with Rob Schwartz. Tune in next week for part four. There's more.